Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Next, our media group, Washington correspondent Kelly Myers on the line. We'll go to her in just a second, but I just wanted to throw out more than a sports trivia question, which should be of interest to people in Chicago here. Hey, Dave Ennett, which baseball manager has been fired 4 times and hired 5 times? Want to take a guess?
Well, I think there are probably quite a few.
Actually, that doesn't narrow the
fit that the description.
Field.
But I think I know the guy you're talking about.
Well, here. I'm just looking at the USA Today today. Thank you, Harry Tynowitz, for pointing this out to me. They're saying they are hearing that Dusty Baker's going to get the Houston Astros job.
Bob Nightingale of USA Today is reporting that he is going to be the guy.
And he is
walking into a mess.
And saying that he's the right guy for the right place at the right time.
It probably is.
Yeah.
Probably is.
Do you agree with this sentence? Nightingale writes, "There's no manager in the game more well-liked, respected, and admired by his peers and players throughout the industry than Dusty Baker."
Yeah, you know what? I think he was always liked and respected around the game and maybe more other places than in Chicago when he was here with the Cubs. I mean, I think he was loved here for a while. You know, people get enamored with a guy, and after 2003, even though they were still a winning team the following year, I think the bloom was kind of off the rose.
Nightingale says the Astros caught using illegal electronic equipment to steal signs, resulting in the suspensions of from general manager, etc., are going to be facing horrendous backlash every time they leave the city limits of Houston. They will be insulted, scorned, and ridiculed, and that's just by the other players. Fans will taunt them, too.
As you say, Dusty's going to have to do an exorcism in every dugout, right?
Is that something that he did before, Steve?
Didn't he, David?
That wasn't him.
It wasn't him?
No, but there was the front office.
I thought it was him.
Wait a minute. The Cubs did exorcisms?
Well, it wasn't an exorcism.
Shtick about the goat and all of that and the curses?
No, it wasn't the goat. They did bring a goat out to Wrigley Field. That was way before Dusty got here.
Fans will taunt them every time they step to the plate with chants of cheater, cheater,
cheater. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be absolutely brutal for them.
And Dusty's the guy for the job. Boy, I guess you want that job if you can get it, but
I mean,
ugh.
He has won every place he's been. He's got, he won here. He won in San Francisco, took them to the World Series. He took the Cincinnati Reds to a couple of division titles. He took the Washington Nationals to the playoffs. I mean, the guy has been a winning manager throughout his career.
It's not official yet, but Nightingale at USA Today says Astros make the right call. Dusty Baker is the new manager. Well, I know you'll keep your eye on that. Thanks for just a little thought. But a good deal, says Dave Ennett, for Dusty and maybe the Astros, too.
Well, they got to do something. They have to have a manager.
They do need somebody. Yeah, yeah. 11:13 on WGN. Let's visit with Kelly Meyer now, Washington correspondent, Nextar Media Group. I don't know. Do you follow baseball in Washington, D.C. as well, Kelly? Are you a Nationals fan?
I'm actually originally from the Philly area, so I'm a fan at heart, but I was cheering for the Nats when they won the World Series. That was a pretty exciting time to be here.
I should say. So today's the last day for the president's team to make their case to the Senate. The managers are all, the House managers for the Democrats made theirs last week, and the president's team, starting on Saturday, made their presentation. Can you just give me an overall summary? What have we seen and heard in the last few days from the president's team?
Yeah, they really went out and tried to make this concise argument. They said they didn't want to take up as much time as the House managers have. They wanted to get to the point. They're really saying and putting the pressure on the Bidens and his son, both Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden, and really trying to show that what being accused of them from the Democrats isn't really an impeachable offense. So they're just trying to show that there is these articles of impeachment don't have really any weight, and as well as at the same time trying to show why the president may have wanted to investigate potential corruption from the Biden family. So that's what they were focusing on over the course of their opening argument. Like you said, they're going to be wrapping up today. We're hearing that it could be an early day on the Hill. They might be wrapping up pretty quickly. And then, of course, we go on into the questioning. But within that time frame, of course, we heard the reports of John Bolton's new book, the manuscript coming out that he was directed or told, shared a conversation with President Trump that they were saying that they were going to withhold that military aid to Ukraine over this investigation into the Bidens, further backing Democrats' argument. Now this brought up a new push from some senators to bring in new witnesses. That's really where the conversation is at on Capitol Hill. Will this trial go on further? Will they bring in any witnesses? And we're kind of hearing from some Senate Republicans that they would be willing to hear from that side. But also, if you're going to bring someone in on the Democratic side for a witness, then you have to do the same for the White House defense as well. So maybe this whole tit-for-tat Bolton for a Biden kind of thing is being thrown around up here as well.
Now, I saw this morning that it might be a one-for-one. We'll get one, you get one. If it was Bolton,
right.
Which, talk amongst yourselves about that, but I just don't understand that. But okay, so one-for-one, would it be Hunter Biden or would it be Joe Biden, the Biden that would be the other one?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the big question, too. Would Joe have to come in here from the campaign trail? I mean, we're just days away from the Iowa caucuses, or would they want Hunter to come in? It doesn't seem like Democrats, at least, and Schumer just came out here this morning at Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, New York, saying that he doesn't see the need to bring in Hunter Biden, basically. But that is something that Republicans, some Senate Republicans, have voiced. But they do, at least we have heard from some Senate Republicans that they would like to hear from Bolton. They think it would be fair to hear from him as well as another witness from the White House side. But again, that vote may come up Friday or so, but we really don't know if they even have the votes to bring in another witness, and we really won't know until Friday when you see how senators will decide, because you might even see some Democrats deciding with Republicans and some Republicans maybe so-called going with Democrats, so you just don't know how it's going to weigh out when you need those votes.
But I'm hearing you say that these senators on the Republican side who would be willing to get Bolton up there are going to do so not flat out, but rather as a trade. I mean, that's where this thing is leaning. It's not Bolton and nobody else. If it's Bolton, then it's somebody else. It's probably a Biden, correct?
Yeah, I think, they whether they want to hear from John Bolton coming up with this, it seems like, at least from senators like Utah Senator Mitt Romney, Maine Senator Susan Collins, they're saying that they're open to hearing from them. They haven't really said the... You know, they kind of made mention that they would like to hear from maybe one from each side if that comes to it. But they did say right off the bat, as this news was coming out yesterday morning from the Bolton manuscript, that they would like, it was becoming increasingly clear that they would maybe have to call him in for a witness testimony due to what was being released in this alleged report, basically.
Yeah, and I don't suppose you've seen the passage from the book, have you? The New York Times has, evidently, but we're all just hearing about that. Which, okay, that's secondhand.
Exactly.
So that's secondhand reporting about his firsthand account, but it's just odd to us that there exists the possibility that while the man is right there, rather than have him testify, they would turn in the portion of the book about this conversation.
Right.
I'm asking you how much traction that idea has in the Senate.
Yeah, and I think that's the question that's kind of coming out more and more today. We're hearing from, I believe, Senator Lindsey Graham was saying that he wanted to get his hands on what was said. And I think some of the Republicans from the White House defense team that are on the congressional side were saying just that, that this is secondhand information, that they're not sure. That it was Mark Meadows from North Carolina that said this, that he was seeing this coming out, secondhand information coming from an outlet like the New York Times. It just didn't seem like they were trusting the validity of it. So I think a lot of senators are now calling for the manuscript to see what it says themselves, read it themselves, and then decide if they want to call in that witness.
Do you have any sense from some senators besides the ones we've heard from, like Collins, Markowski, Romney?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any more mainstream or even hardline Republicans that are softening up on the issue of witnesses?
There's some that are coming up for that won't be going for re-election, that they're just, you know, Lamar Alexander from Tennessee is going to be retiring at the end of the year. Richard Burr from North Carolina is retiring. So some people have mentioned Alexander and Murkowski, like we said, Gardner, but we're really looking at these states that are either purple or swing, or they are up for re-election, things like that. And you're even seeing in places like there's more moderate Democrats, like Joe Manchin from West Virginia. Will he decide? He hasn't really said how he'll go either way, or given a firm, real answer if any of these rise to the level of impeachment. So it'll be interesting to see also if he decides to go some way or the other. So they're really looking at these states where they're very divided, or did they have a Democratic senator and the state went for Trump in 2016? We're kind of paying attention to those areas. But otherwise, it seems like very much one side for Republicans, one side for Democrats overall on the issue.
Yeah. One last thing. The USA Today has a story today, and they just sort of recounted their observations about the behavior of the senators. And so they're sort of, they're not mocking them, but they're just reporting how sometimes they're using their, they're fidgeting, they're getting a glass of milk, literally. But I also took away from the article that the senators are there and they are largely paying attention. We've heard about Lindsey Graham going for a walk and some of them appearing on TV during the testimony itself, but it makes it sound like they are being fairly attentive. What's your assessment of that?
Yeah, and I will say that we are allowed to go into the room as members of the press, and they do have an extra layer of, I guess, another credential, so to speak, to get into that area. So I have one of those, and I've been inside the room and kind of took it all in, because you can't take your phone in. You can only take notes, pen and paper, and watch them from the gallery above. But like you said, you are seeing the majority of senators really engaged, and a lot of them taking notes, some of them not taking notes. I'll make sure I make a clear assessment of who is and who isn't when I go in later today. But I think also it's interesting to see they're all in there at one time, which is very rare, to see them all in their seats paying attention like they are in school to the arguments. And like you said, they are drinking milk. They can't have anything else, and they have to take a proper break for dinner. But overall, largely, they are engaged in this, maybe sometimes talking to each other and smiling, or, kind of sharing thoughts and things like that. I know people have talked about the candy desk that Pennsylvania Senator Pat Toomey is in charge of, and a lot of the candies that's been coming in for that just by the pile loads. So there are some, little quirky things about how they try to stay awake. But I know definitely I was talking with senators the morning after the first long day. Remember last week opening on Tuesday, and then them coming back Wednesday morning. I think they were here until like 1 or 2 a.m. that night, and they could barely keep their eyes open. So it was, interviewing them, they kind of had to take a pause, regroup, and then go into the interview to make sure they were, sound and could make a coherent statement, basically, to us on camera.
Imagine, I remember when you were in school, high school, college, whatever, and the teacher would be up there lecturing, and it'd be a sunny day, and you'd start to get the nods, and you couldn't fight it. Now imagine you're doing that all day long, and you're 70, and you're a United States senator, and you don't even believe what you're hearing, or you especially do, but either way, you've heard this now for the fourth time. I would imagine it would be hard for them to stay awake, literally, for that sometimes.